Welcome to the Voices for Voices podcast, sponsored by Redwood Living. Thank you for joining us today. I am Justin Allen Hayes, founder and executive director of Voices for Voices, host and humanitarian. You can learn more about Voices for Voices on our Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube channel at Voices for Voices, and on our website at voicesforvoices.org. Voices for Voices is a 501c3 nonprofit charity organization that survives solely on donations. So, if you are able to, please consider heading over to voicesforvoices.org to help us continue our mission and the goal and dream to help 3 billion people over the course of my lifetime and beyond. Or you can also send a donation to the mailing address of Voices for Voices at 2388 Beckett Circle, Stowe, Ohio, 44224. Or you can also make a donation on the Cash App at Voices for Voices. Are you or somebody you know looking for a volunteer opportunity? If so, please reach out to us today via email at president@voicesforvoices.org. Now, I founded Voices for Voices to provide a platform for folks to share their stories with others as we work to break the stigma around mental health, accessibility, and disabilities, while also helping people get the help they need and helping them prepare and or transition into the workforce with the Voices for Voices Career Center, where we connect talent with opportunity for both job seekers and employers alike, from coast to coast and in every job industry and job level. And who can forget about merchandise? The Voices for Voices merchandise shop is up and running at voicesforvoices.org/shop, where shipping is always free. Again, all donations are 100% tax deductible. Today, please join me in welcoming our guest. She is a supervising counselor, art therapist, and chemical dependency counselor. She works for Alta Behavioral Healthcare and Laura Hofstetter in Counseling Association. And we're also grateful to have her on our board for Voices for Voices, on our board of directors. Today's guest is Heidi LaRue. Thank you for joining me today, Heidi.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So for our viewers and our listeners, I became aware and to know Heidi through my group therapy after my five-day inpatient stay at Akron General Hospital. And at that time, the specialty that I interacted with Heidi was around art therapy, but Heidi, I've learned, does more than just art therapy. She supervises teams to be able to share her knowledge and experience of 2 to 3 decades of experience with others. And once we, I guess, reconnected a couple years after my stay, she's been a big supporter of the organization, which started out as just the Voices for Voices, a brand new day event at our infancy. And her experience and knowledge has been very helpful, and it continues to be helpful with everything that we're doing now and into the future. So just very grateful to have Heidi with us today. So let's just start on, where do you work at?
I work for Alta Care Group, also called Alta Behavioral Healthcare. That's in Youngstown, Ohio, and we serve Mahoning County and Trumbull County, the Mahoning Valley. We're an organization for children and families. And then I also work for Laura Hofstetter and Counseling Associates in Hudson, Ohio. And I provide some supervision outside of those places of employment and do some presentations.
Great. So your experience, not just in the fields that you work in, but just being able to converse with your patients, where did that come from in your career and maybe personally to be able to have those connections? Because oftentimes people are interacting with you for maybe the first time or only a couple times, don't really know you.
Oh, yeah.
And so being able to just have a conversation as well as work through the challenges. How'd that come about in your life?
I think you might be asking, like, what was my interest originally and then how I connect with people when I get started.
Yes.
And my interest originally was that I love art and I love ideas and talking about the mind, thinking about how I think and how other people think, how that's similar and different, and then sort of like a Venn diagram, how you would bring that together and think of, like, where do we both think in a similar way that we could connect with each other. And then when I initially meet people, I let them know what some of my backgrounds are so that I can be helpful. But I really try to think about that person who's right in front of me, whether it's someone I'm supervising or a colleague or if it's direct client care, just that person that's right in front of me, what might help them? That's kind of where I come from.
Right. So you have a pretty packed schedule, some would say, of working in multiple areas, organizations. Is there something particular that you're working on at the current time?
So one of the groups that I'm connected with is the Helms Foundation in Youngstown, and they are supportive of art therapy program development. And they provide supplies and equipment, and then they promote art therapy. So I'm very fortunate to be involved with them, and that is the biggest program that I'm supporting right now, like project that I'm supporting right now is the Helms Foundation. I'm so fortunate that I can do it through Alta Behavioral Healthcare, and I also have some support from the Mahoning County Mental Health and Recovery Board for that project. So that's where my heart is with getting art therapy out into the community more.
Yeah, and I know for me and probably multiple listeners and viewers, art can take many different forms. It's not just maybe visually. It could have a form of music. It could have a form of really just communication and body movement and different areas that people might not think that also apply. Not that you're a musician per se, but art in the whole sense of art can take many, many different forms. So when you talk about being creative, what do you mean about that?
So when I talk about being creative, I think about bringing ideas together from two different worlds, ideas that might seem really different from one another, and then finding out how those ideas might work together to make something that's productive, maybe novel. There's lots of different definitions of creativity. So for me, I immediately think of where I work at Alta Behavioral Healthcare. I'm so fortunate to work there, and I think of some of the projects that we've done. So, for example, we have this art right in front of us, and it's visual. And then there was this one project that we did. I kind of want to talk about a few of them.
Please.
But, okay, but it has to do with not the visual, but how we brought the people together. So the visual is so important. I mean, that's right there at the core of art therapy. Yeah. But for me, the creativity is, like I was saying, it's bringing together novel ideas from different backgrounds. So, like, the first thing that we did was repainted a picnic table out at our camp program, and a lot of the children put their hands on it, and it just took something that was old and, you know, needed some cleaning up. And made it into a beautiful community experience, and then it's there for good. And then the next one we did was the courtyard fence, which I actually had very little to do with putting paint on that courtyard fence, but that doesn't mean that I wasn't creative in the project, right? Because I helped organize the different interns that contributed to that and some clients, and that courtyard fence That was called The Secret Garden, and we started it in 2020, and I cannot think of the author of the classic book right now, but this classic book was written in the early 1900s, and it was about people following a epidemic of cholera, some outbreak of cholera. So in the story, the little girl lives, I believe, in British India, and she awakens to her parents being dead. And she's sort of like hauled off to some place in England where she lives with her uncle, and he has this garden that she's not allowed to go to. She's a grumpy little girl, and he's kind of emotionally unavailable. I think his wife had died, and it had been her garden. So it was really interesting that we were doing the secret, we were calling this The Secret Garden. Myself and the art therapy interns had referenced the book. We also talked about Tom Sawyer's fence and some metaphors with that. And so anyway, we painted it, and in The Secret Garden in the book, she brings the garden back to life, and the man's not as grumpy anymore, and she's not as grumpy anymore, and there's some other children that are involved, and it's about like rebirth and rejuvenation. So that was our second big creative project, but it was about bringing the people together, and it was about the idea that we're going to make it through this really hard time. So it appears as though it's about the visual art, but that's not all there is to it. Does that make sense?
It does, and I think that ties also into supervising staff, of connecting with the staff to what they'll be able to also share with their patients and their clients, that it doesn't always have to be about, like you said, the visual art, about right. bringing people together, getting people together to do things that might seem basic to some people, but the way it makes them feel, they feel accomplished and that they're doing something. I know that that's how I felt, that I'm not a great artist, but being able to see a product at the end of a class or end of a couple of days, to be able to just see something that I did,
right.
doesn't have to be the most lovely thing, but it's still something I was able to see. And I think there's some things in life that aren't like that, where we don't see a process all the way through, where we might just have a bit in peace. So supervising others and sharing your knowledge with them, and knowing that you're having an impact on not just the staff, but their patients, how does that, I guess, keep you going?
Oh, well, I'll touch back on this in a minute, but I think it has to do with the concept of flow.
Yes.
Like just being so in the moment of your experience. I think that's what keeps me going. And I feel a little bit like that right now. Like we're doing something creative,
yes.
and it's just like, cool, this is good, you know? Like, it's like during that time, except that I just mentioned it, during that time you usually like kind of lose track of time and you're just like right in it, you know? So there was this one other project that we did. So like right now I have one person that I'm supervising through Alta, and then three that I'm supervising outside of there as okay. art therapists. Mm-hmm. But I also do that with chemical dependency yeah. counselors and mental health counselors. But this one project we had, it was the connector hall. It connected two buildings. So in the beginning of it, myself and the art therapists and interns asked our colleagues what mattered to them. And one of the first things that was mentioned was the seasons of life and the seasons of change. So this connector hall, I really don't know how long it is, but my guess is maybe 400 feet between the two ends of it. And I don't know, maybe less, maybe 200. It's really hard. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway,
some
it's long.
Some distance, yeah.
Yeah, and it connects these two buildings, and it has the seasons. It starts with fall, and then winter, and then spring, and then summer as it goes up. And each part of it is reflective of one of the different individuals that we asked what would they like. So the idea was to give honor to people, and so as I picture the hall, I think of this one area that's done like a brick wall, and that one is about hard work, and that's like the symbolism of it. And then there's another section that is it has something that is supposed to appear like a wrought iron gate, and so it's supposed to look traditional and classy. And then as you go up the hall, there's a section that is a field of daisies, and that is, it has like a ethereal haze to the background, and that is symbolic of being present with people and just appreciating that person. And then as you go up the last section of the hall, there's mountains that are done in the same ratio of height to our Alta logo, I think. We tried to do that. And then there's a Sasquatch. And the little Sasquatch is representative of playfulness.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a squirrel that is representative of playfulness,
oh,
too.
Yeah,
so everything represents something somebody requested, something we thought about them. And then it also serves a functional purpose. So I think some forms of creativity, it's nice when it's novel, brings ideas together from different worlds. One of the purposes is that the Sasquatch is there, like it wasn't done this way on purpose, but it functions this way. When new employees come to the organization, they are oriented about art therapy and different programs. And at the end of my presentation, I ask them to look for the Sasquatch. So it like gets them connected with that whole piece of it. And then another aspect of the creativity was that when people were painting, there were some that I knew if I said, would you get these cans and set these things up and do this piece, they would just do it. And then I knew there were some that I needed to sort of find out what they loved, mm-hmm. and then let them, like, and then me step back and just kind of monitor from a distance, but let their passion happen. And so that was part of the creativity. And then also, there might be an individual who was new to the group, like an employee new to the group, and another individual that was really good at helping people feel connected, and that would help with, like, retention. So that's part of the creativity. I mean, I love the art, but there's this other piece of it that really matters a lot to me.
Great. And you can just, I mean, feel the passion when you're speaking, and that's something that when people see at home,
thanks.
Just sees somebody passionate about something that makes it resonate
thank you.
So much more
yeah.
with them.
Yeah, it's passion, hyper focus, whatever.
Yeah,
I'm glad for it.
So, what are some creative projects? And you've touched on this a little bit, but are there any creative projects that you want to highlight that you've worked on that have been really special that you want to showcase and share?
Maybe we could talk a little bit about these.
Yeah,
and
please.
Like, just because they're examples and they're right here. And then maybe about what I'd like to do next.
Yeah.
If that's okay.
Yeah,
so
that'd be great.
So this one is just an example of something that can be used. Sometimes I will ask supervisees to decorate a bottle and think about if a bottle washed up on the shore and it had a message in it for you, what would be in it? And so that this is like an art therapy supervision intervention. And I just love that. So that's what that one is. And then this one is a little dish that same kind of decoupage. And you know, you can see that you don't have to be an artist to do these things. It's not hard, you know, and you can get in that flow state. But this one is about comfort, and I didn't bring my little candle, but you can put the little LED yeah. candles in there, and that's about like different ways that you can find comfort or comfort others or comfort yourself. And then this journal is something that I worked on during the shutdown, and each of the pages, most of the pages have acrylic paint and some pen, and this is a mandala. These are done where you draw a circle, draw another circle around it, and then everything you do it the same so that no matter what direction you look at it, it looks the same. And so that just that repetition, you can kind of get into the flow. And there's a lot of other history behind mandalas with the psychoanalyst Carl Jung, and there's like so much else you can do with that. But that there's those kind of projects that are like in the moment, either this was myself, well, some of it was done, some of these were done on telehealth with clients. This I sometimes do with clients or with supervisees, and then this one the message in the bottle is with supervisees. Also, sometimes I'll have the, if I'm teaching someone how to supervise, it'll be a genie in a bottle. And the genie comes out, and the question is, if you had a wish for yourself, the person you're supervising, and the client, what would the wishes be? And so it's just like so much more like where you really sit with it. And no matter what you're struggling with professionally, you're sitting there making art with your supervisor. And it just doesn't feel as stressful as if you weren't doing something with your hands. So those are some things that we work on all the time. Those are like little creativity things that are like in the moment. They're not like big projects like the Connector Hall.
Yeah. So what would you like to do next? I know you mentioned so many different aspects and areas. Is there a certain area you want to maybe focus more on or you want to learn more about?
Yes. Okay. So I am not positive I have the pronunciation on this, but Mahaly, Csikszentmihalyi, have you ever heard of him?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I'll give you the spelling later, but the first name I think is Mihaly. So he wrote this book, Flow, and then there's a second line to that, and it's about creativity. And he talks about five phases of creativity, and they sort of remind me of the scientific method, which I think has four, but I'm not sure. Anyway, it's really similar.
Sounds right.
It has to do with, like, gathering information. That's like the preparation where you've got your question and you're really immersing yourself in something. And that's where I am at in this one thing that I'm thinking about, which is this idea. We went from the picnic table to the courtyard fence to the connector hallway. And now I would like to do art. My dream is to do murals like on the outside of buildings. And again, it has the visual component, but that isn't what it's about. In my heart, it's that I would like these to be advocating for organizations that have a cause. So let's say, for example, you have people who receive services at a shelter, and then you have like a big side of a building, mm-hmm. and so this is where I'm just like gathering information and thinking about ideas, and what could we do? Like, who would be the different people that might help me get a forklift?
Right.
You know, or what paints do I need to learn about? Like, what paints actually absorb directly into the wall so that they don't chip off later? Like, I need to figure all that out. And then let's say you've got this group of people who lives at a shelter or is staying at a shelter for a while. Maybe they could put the base coat on. If I had a projector and I could project something beautiful up onto the side of the wall, and then what's the little code that's not a barcode, but it's that fuzzy looking little thing that people scan now?
Oh my gosh.
It's like a little square?
Yeah.
That's it.
QR code.
The QR code. So what if there was like a QR code or a website or a barcode or whatever it was, something that someone driving by could see this, and then it could be connected to information people could find on the internet about a cause that was related to the people at the shelter.
Yeah.
This is what I'm dreaming about.
Yeah, it's fascinating. All different layers, and the way you describe it, the piece of art is not just a piece of art. That there's tons of meaning, and it can go towards helping people. So not only helping the people through doing the art, so if they take their time and do that for that time, but then to get the community and organizations involved in that with the supplies and being able to sponsor, I think that, hey, that's pretty noble. That's big vision. I like it.
That's what I'm dreaming about.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about it. And, you know, the things that I'm doing right now, I'm happy with those. But this is something that I dream of.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm glad you share that, because part of what I like to project through the organization is being able to dream and to have kind of maybe bigger than life goals and aspirations and wanting to do things and working towards them. We may get there and do it. We may do a piece of it, but to be able to have a big overarching vision and to be able to touch in this example, so many different people at so many spots along that process too. It's not just one. It's the beginning of, okay, we need to get the supplies. Now we have to get the people. And and what's the angle? We want to make people more aware. We want to educate them. We want maybe donations that cover food or shelter, different things. Yeah. And so when you talk about it like that, it sounds, which it is, it sounds huge and amazing. That it, when people look at it, they might not get that. But when they look at the whole process, that art isn't just the art itself, that there's a thought process that goes into it. And that is just as important as the finished art itself.
I mean, the outcomes of it in the end are measurable. You can figure it out. But along the way, sometimes you can't know immediately what all's going to come of it. And but I do really treasure those moments when you're right in it, and I can picture being right in it and people working together on the project and just like seeing it come in, you know, just I picture that part. So thank
absolutely.
You so much.
Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to make sure you covered in this this episode?
I'm just grateful that we did this.
This is great. So our followers may have listened to an episode with Heidi last year, but now that we've made this shift to be able to do the podcast on TV and then be able to incorporate into our YouTube channel and then all the audio platforms as well as the transcripts so people can read, so we can touch people in different ways to get the message out. So that was a reason why I wanted to bring Heidi back, not just for being a member of the board, but be able to share, like, what are you working on? Because there's probably somebody listening or watching that may have an interest in some artistic thing in their life. And I just want to thank you for your time.
I also would like to say one other thing, and it's that if anyone has a mental health need, they can always reach out to me, and I'll do what I can to try to get them connected, whether it's counseling, chemical dependency, art therapy, or if they're interested in pursuing a career in that world, I would be glad to support them as well.
Okay. Do you want to share the information, or do you just want to include it in the show notes?
Just the show notes.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have that information available. So check out the show notes or description, depending on a transcript. Be able to get in touch with Heidi. And before we end, just want to touch on two important days the organization coming up. One is on May 25th. That's going to be our Voices for Voices Day, or World Voices for Voices Day, which we have the tagline of celebrating the voice in all of us. And so what this is going to be is there's going to be a 24-hour marathon of the Voices for Voices podcast on our YouTube channel. And we're going to have 24 posts, one on each hour of the day on May 25th, new content to share with our followers. And the goal is the next year to have a walk associated with the World Voices for Voices Day. So be on the lookout for that every May 25th and from 2023 going forward. And then lastly, our third annual A Brand New Day Gala fundraiser is going to be held on October 13th from 6:30 to 8:30. It's going to be held at the Leona Ferris Lodge in the Stowe Silver Springs Park, and that's at 5027 Stowe Road in Stowe, Ohio, 44224. Dan Flowers, the president and CEO of the Akron-Canton Regional Food Bank, is going to be our keynote speaker. And the Honorable Judge Allison Bro is going to be receiving the 2023 Voices for Voices Ambassador of the Year Award. We're also going to have sign language interpretation for the entirety of the event. We're going to have music. We're going to have art and raffle items, and you name it. And all donations are tax deductible. Tickets per person are going to be set at $150 per person. Or if you would like a table of six, you can reserve that for $750. You can find all the ticket information at voicesforvoices.org. And again, all donations are tax deductible, as Voices for Voices is a 501c3 nonprofit charity organization. So I want to thank you for joining us in this episode of the Voices for Voices podcast. And I also want to thank our guest, Heidi LaRue, for spending some time with us today. So until next time, I'm Justin Allen Hayes. Have a great day and be a voice for you or somebody in need.